Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 221. Top of the day to you, Tom.
Coming in hot there.
Let's do it.
We've just come off recording another fun show, which was great fun, but it means our energy levels are up.
Very high. So let's see which part of this podcast will crash.
Because it'll happen.
It's going to happen.
Watch out, everybody.
A news story that I've got this week has inspired the quiz.
Fantastic. I love a bit of inspo.
Oh, inspo, yes. Is inspo for info? No, inspo for Insta?
Yes.
I think I'm crashing now.
Well, let's put some pep in our step.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of cool news. I've got a fun fact. This is kind of fun, but also just quickly found. And we've watched some stuff. We've watched some of the same stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It sounds like we're on the same watching page this week. So we can't necessarily suggest anything to each other, but
I've still got others. I'm sure you've got some things that we can briefly mention just to prove that we don't text each other. Are you going to watch this now?
So are you going to watch? One, two, three. Press play now.
Now. Oh, we're 4 seconds out.
Stop again.
Stop spoiling.
Yeah.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by frozen bananas on Paddle Pop Sticks, the healthy equivalent that all kids had no option but to eat on hot summer days. The mystery of the yellow paint around the roundabouts has been solved. An easy phone call to the council, being put on hold for 20 minutes and then being transferred to another department, then being put on hold for 37 minutes, then to another department, on hold again, and then back to the second department, and we got the answer. They are just marking it all out to upgrade the roundabouts. Not the most exciting bit of news, but nice to get closure. The Wizards of Watchersville have been honing their spells ready for the International Magic Competition in Spain this year. All 87 of our local sorcerers will be attending and are hoping to grab top spot. When asked what sort of tricks they were working on, we were told they aren't tricks. They are very serious works of scientific art, alchemy, and measurements, much like baking. And there's nothing trick-like about it, except for how tricky some people find it all to master. Okay, point taken. Good luck in magical Madrid. The local pool finally has a free day for the public to enjoy being in lukewarm, chlorinated and other things water. As everyone is well aware, the beginning of the year is always a busy time, what with the school swimming carnivals and the draining of the water after each day because kids in water are gross. And because of all that, the dam and lake where the town gets its drinking water from is dangerously low, and we are all to adhere to strict 2-minute showers twice a week, no watering of the garden, and we are being encouraged to wear our dirty clothes for longer rather than washing them. Fun. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
What news stories have you got?
All right, I'm going to crack in with one that has nothing to do with watching, but it's pretty cool because it's coming from something that we both watched.
Cool.
There is a spin-off comic book series that has already launched, and you can get it free. Well, free. Not free, but if you have signed up already for the Marvel Unlimited app,
right,
which you pay for, so they pump out free comics all the time, which is cool. Most days of the week there is a free issue, and it is kind of half the length of a standard comic book, so 2 issues. Blah blah blah. They're Alligator Loki.
Right. Yes, we saw Alligator Loki in Loki.
Yes, which we'd never seen before. I have, of course, talked a lot about Throg in the past, just the Thor frog. And
surely that's coming.
Oh, there'll be stuff to do with Throg for sure. If he's not in Thor 4 coming up, I'll be quite surprised if there's some sort of cameo. Anyway, so there's a 12-part comic book series, so it would be 6 issues in a standard comic, be nicely collected in a book later, I'm sure. But the difference with these infinite comics is that they are vertically scrollable. So instead of turning pages, you are reading a scroll. Some stories have utilized that format well, some don't really utilize that. You can tell it was probably written for the older style.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, there's been a very cool X-Men comic that I think it's up to about issue 28 or something like that, comes out at free every week. And the first few storylines of that was written by the guy who's been writing and been the head of the X-Men universe for the last couple of years. And one of them was all about Wolverine dropping from a plane.
And like parachuting or nope. I've got no parachute?
I've got no parachute. I got metal bones, so I fall fast.
Yes.
So it was all about trying to reach terminal velocity and stuff. It was very cool.
So what were you – how are you consuming it on an iPad?
Yes. So that's via the app on the iPad.
Yeah. Did you find it difficult to not try and swipe to change the page or did you get used to the vertical scroll?
So I've been reading my comics mostly via app for probably 12, 13 years now, yep, or something like that. There is still books that I get, but there's a thing called guided view where it goes panel to, it zooms in and goes panel to panel. So it's kind of like turning pages and you can, yep, flick through a bit. So on the digital front, we've got that one. But in the comic book front, if you're a fan of Jessica Jones,
mm-hmm, and a lot of people are,
certainly are, she's been a bit periphery in the comics for a couple of years now, just because she and Luke Cage are married and they have a child in the comics and they've been in hiding. Mm. They've kind of been laying low. There's a 5-issue series called The Variants. Again, was something we learned about through Loki.
Yeah.
And you can kind of think of this series as Jessica's Jones.
Jessica's Jones.
Because she will be teaming up with variants of herself.
Other Jessicas.
To, I'm guessing, solve a case.
But the cover
shows a proper superhero version of her in her dual costume and, you know, ones where she's had different life choices, sliding doors style. She's going to team up with all of them. That sounds good fun.
I really like the fact that Sliding Doors is a reference to a film that is
largely forgotten.
Almost 30 years ago, yeah. Largely forgotten. But we all, as soon as somebody says Sliding Doors, I just see that bit in the film. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Makes the train, doesn't make it. Yep. That sounds cool because Jessica Jones was one of the Netflix Marvel things and that's not there anymore?
It's not, but it's coming to Disney in about 2 weeks, I believe.
Okay.
They're getting all the Netflix shows. Everyone thought, us international ones, we're getting it on Star.
Yep.
In the States, they expected maybe it would go to Hulu and Disney's gone, we're going to put it on a normal thing. And some parent advocacy groups are like, oh, Disney, you're tarnishing your brand, putting this adult content on the family-friendly thing. And everyone's like, what?
Just
put your parental controls on them.
I don't want to have to do any work, though.
Shut up, Karen.
Speaking of Karen? Kids. Not kids. Karen, kids. So it's been over a decade since the spin-off, wasn't it? Puss in Boots, which was a spin-off of Shrek, came out at 2011. Well, they're making a sequel called Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. So Antonio Banderas is back again. So the story's about him trying to restore his 9 lives because he's only got 1 left.
Cool.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty fun. Selma Hayek's going to be in there. You've got Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows.
I had heard about this. I read an interview with him when he was being very cagey as to what big project he had coming up.
I don't know what his character is, but I also saw another name of interest, Olivia Colman.
Oh, there you go.
She's in so much stuff.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Oh, actually, there was somebody else that I thought I should say, John Mulaney.
There you go.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun. So that'll be coming out at some point in time. And I would imagine, no, that's not on Disney, is it? I don't think. I'm pretty sure Shrek is on
Netflix
here.
So it was distributed through Universal.
Yeah. Maybe. So don't look for it at Disney yet.
No, won't. You won't find it there. You know who you will find at Disney at some point in the future when Mandalorian Season 3 comes back? We always love hearing bits and pieces of news.
Oh, yeah.
All I have written down is Taika is coming back.
Nice.
As IG-11.
Just another
Maybe he'll be IG-14.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's really cool. Oh.
Good.
That's really good.
Everyone loved his robot.
And let's not forget that we also had Richard Ayoade's robot in there as well.
Yes, and Matt Berry over on Boba Fett.
Yeah, so there's a lot of really cool actors lending their voices to stuff in the Star Wars universe. Of course, we're getting excited about the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So there were rumors going around the traps. I don't know if you like. I mean, if you've seen the trailer, you would know that Obi-Wan is going to have a fight with Darth Vader like that. And they've been talking about it, like Hayden, you know, like it's a thing, it's right? A thing. But there were rumors that potentially that wasn't going to be who Obi-Wan was going to fight. They were saying that Darth Maul was going to be the one, and that Darth Maul was originally in the early sort of plan of the series was going to sort of be chasing down Obi-Wan and young Luke Skywalker through it before the plot was then changed to be less about, well, be less like The Mandalorian and, you know, Grogu.
Sure.
It makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that does make sense. We don't need to see another show of that. We've got one that's doing very well.
Exactly. And Obi-Wan is such a big name and such a big presence within the Star Wars universe that you don't want it. You don't want the series to be tarnished by like, oh, we've already seen this. Wow. So other spies at Lucasfilm said that Maul was never part of the plan for this series of Obi-Wan. So maybe there's a second season.
Sure.
That they're playing, you know, already starting to play with ideas for storylines around.
I think that's very interesting because, you know, if you've only seen the films, then Maul was in the first one.
Yep.
But if you've watched a lot of the shows, then you know that Maul comes back and gets better. Shall we say?
Isn't he voiced by, what's his name? The actor who was in Sam Witwer.
Yes.
Yeah, in the animated version.
Yes.
That's who Darth Maul is. But of course, the actor.
He was a vampire on the American, or the Canadian version of Being Human.
Yeah, yeah. And he was Deacon St. John in Days Gone, the game that you will not play, Tom, because it's too scary.
It's too scary.
Too many zombie hordes.
Too scary.
Yeah, I completely understand.
You know what's not scary, but good for him?
Yeah.
Someone who's been having quite a couple of months of – he got some great news. Pete Davidson, excited. In a week or two, he's off to space. Yeah. He's going on one of Jeff Bezos's rockets.
Oh, real space. I was like, okay, tell me what the movie is. That's not a movie.
They met at a dinner party and hit it off or something, and he got like – bumped up the list or something. I don't think Pete Davidson can afford one of them tickets to go to space. So he's a plus one or something.
That's really cool.
But what a way to, you know, one up someone's ex-wife or ex-husband.
I kind of feel like he's a very friendly kind of person.
Yeah.
And that people who meet him quite like him. So do the ladies, right? Except for just that one person.
It's just that one person.
Who I bet they've not met face to face.
They have met when
that
person hosted SNL.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of this stems from the fact that Pete then went on and had a bit in a stand-up routine about how much of an a-hole said person was.
Well, I mean,
yep.
If the overpriced, ridiculous-looking shoe fits.
I've only ever got one pair of them shoes.
There's not the ridiculous, weird tan colour ones.
No.
Yeah. So Bezos has already gone into outer space, right?
He was on flight one.
Yeah.
This is going to be flight four. And so it's literally Pete Davidson and a bunch of really old white people.
Oh, because speaking of old white people, my other question was going to be, was William Shatner on one of these?
Yes.
Was this the same thing?
Yes. Shatner's done one. Someone else has done one. So I think they have one celebrity spot per flight.
It should be Patrick Stewart, right?
It's a good pick. It's a good pick. But I feel like they could go some really random choices too.
Well, I was going to go over to Star Wars, like pick Mark Hamill.
Sure.
No, pick Harrison Ford, take photographs of him being unimpressed whilst in outer space. Yeah.
I would like Christopher Walken. So when he comes back down to Earth, he's, wow. And that's his review of space.
What about Keanu?
Whoa. yeah, there's plenty of people that could emote well about how. But yeah, you're right. Sending someone who's just unimpressed with it.
Mm.
Hyacinth Bouquet.
She'd be so worried about. Watch that asterisk. I was going to say, watch the asteroid. It's 300 million light years away. I'm just pointing it out.
Put that tray table up. There you go, Pete Davidson, go to space. Stay tuned.
That's a really good one. Sarah Gilbert is, what's her name? Darlene Connor in The Connors and Roseanne. Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda have done so much stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally Field, is Sally Field. That's right. They're all being cast in a movie called 80 for Brady. This will also feature Tom Brady.
Yes.
Because for a couple of reasons. One reason is because Tom Brady's production company
is making the film.
So he'll be producing it. But it's also based on true story of four friends and the New England Patriots fans who take a life-changing trip to the 2017 Super Bowl to see their hero, Tom Brady, play, and chaos ensues and they navigate the wilds of the biggest sporting event in the country.
Was that the Super Bowl where it turned out it was actually 10 goldfish operating a Tom Brady human suit?
That's right.
We all got, that was we that got one. Tricked by
I
that
fell
one.
For that yeah, one. Yeah, okay. I actually sat down and started watching that Super Bowl well, and, then, you know, as you do.
And that makes sense as a plot line for a film.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Sally Field, Sarah Gilbert, all dressed up as giant or miniature, depending on how they want to do it, goldfish.
Yeah, that's certainly a thing. Sean Levy, he's having quite a week. Well, he's doing quite well. Last year he had Free Guy come out and everyone loved that. He's had The Adam Project come out the other day and it's done big numbers on Netflix. Ryan Reynolds has gone a bit rogue and just announced himself that Sean Levy is going to be directing Deadpool 3 that is finally moving forward at Disney. It is part of the MCU proper. That means they get to play with all the toys.
Okay, so first question is, where is that going to end up on Disney Plus?
Well, that's a real good question. It'll go on there, and I imagine it's this type of property that's why they're doing things now and sort of setting that idea up so it's not suddenly a, Deadpool's here. We still assume they're going to give it the R rating or what is MA for us. I hope so because that's kind of the tone it needs. But on the same wavelength, I can see them maybe shaving down a little bit of the comedy style because Marvel's is more quippy and his is quippy but not connected to what just – I don't know. It'll be – I'm excited to see what they do here. But they're going to use so many people. And, like, Ryan Reynolds is already trying to get a petition going of Marvel to pay Hugh Jackman a lot of money.
To do what?
To come back as Wolverine.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was going to be like the Brad Pitt thing, right? Where you think he's going to come back as Wolverine, but he actually shows up as something else for like 2 seconds.
Which, again, this thing could do
very well. Yeah, exactly. That's really cool. And I like the fact that no one's sick of Deadpool.
No.
Like, there are two lines of discourse that I've started to hear the last sort of year for Star Wars. Oh, it's too much Star Wars content. Yep. I'm saturated. And my thought is always, you could just not watch it, right? The second one that I'm starting to see and hear is, oh, it's just too much Marvel content. It's just saturated, which is fair enough. Like, they, you know, both have got stuff and have had a lot of stuff recently.
Yes.
But I think something like a Deadpool is just that little bit different and far enough away from Marvel films and whatnot that people who are not necessarily into Marvel or just a little bit over it are still going to jump in and check out Deadpool.
Agreed, because he's meta and he's making fun of it all. And look, for years they've gone, it's all connected. You need to see it all. Well, when they were only putting out 2 movies a year, that was very easy to encourage. But now that they're putting out five TV shows a year plus three movies and stuff like that, they are starting to make it so you can be a bit more pick and choose with things.
Which is good.
Yeah, you don't have to have seen them all, but the experience is enriched if you do.
Mm.
I will also say, yes, the films all have a very house style, the look and feel, the jokes, everything like that. But you can feel them stretching with the TV shows. They're
agreed.
All going in very different directions.
Yeah.
I saw some very, very early initial reactions to Moon Knight just before we started recording.
Oh, yeah.
And people are very enjoying it.
In what way? Like,
is they said it's like a psychological thriller mixed with Indiana Jones, which was not the direction I was expecting.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, the Indiana Jones thing is throwing me. Yeah, and when you think about the series that we've had so far, we've had Wanda.
Yep.
Which was just wild. And if you didn't know television references, particularly those first couple of episodes, you were lost.
Yes.
You were like, what is the point of this? But I think it really set up the fact that the series are quite different to the movies. They were like, we're going to throw you in the deep end here.
Yeah.
Expect the unexpected.
It's going to be a different genre, but it's also going to be able to give you time to spend, to go a bit deeper with these characters that you've enjoyed in other things. So yeah. Like the Hawkeye show.
Yeah.
It was great fun. And no one thought Hawkeye was going to be a great show, but it was great fun.
It's Christmassy too.
It was super Christmassy.
Really helped. That's cool. Yes, I did see that news and I thought Ryan Reynolds was going to have a really good time.
Yep.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've just got one last news story.
Hit so
that there are rumours that finally that Top Gun Maverick film it will be coming out. I think it's late May.
What a threat.
In the US, right? But the rumour is it's going to first premiere at the Cannes Film Festival.
Right.
So
is Tom Cruise going to arrive flying a jet?
He has to, right?
Or at least do a flyby and wave. Hey, guys, it's me, Tom Cruise.
Are you going to stay for the No, he's gone. He's not good. Anyway, right?
Yes.
The last time a Tom Cruise film featured at Cannes Film Festival was the Ron Howard-directed 1992 film Far and Away, starring Tom Cruise and his then-wife, Nicole Kidman. That's a very different movie.
Sure.
I would never have expected that to be at Cannes.
Why so long between drinks?
I'm not sure.
I wonder, what did he get up to in the town of Cannes? But they said, no, thank you.
Because I kind of feel like maybe Nicole's been there more often since then, right?
I feel like. But her acting choices are often quite prestige.
Yes, that's true. She's an actor.
She does.
So that's the rumour. We'll soon find out because Cannes Film Festival goes from the 17th to 28th of May.
I hope it goes well and he doesn't end up feeling like a goose.
Very good. Clever.
Thank you. I've got one piece of disappointing news, but then I've got two good trailer stuff.
Hey!
So let's have a meat and then a dessert. The disappointing news, which was met with shock, horror, and quite a lot of upset in my household, was that Netflix has cancelled The Babysitter's Club after the two seasons. The two-season curse strikes again.
Say goodbye to your friends.
Say goodbye. Well done. I enjoyed that. They haven't said officially why, but I would imagine it's because the books are all set across two summers, and they started production with this particular group of girls in like 2018 or 19, and they were all just – thanks to COVID and shutdowns, everything, they're just too old.
Yeah, fair enough.
So maybe they can do the next generation in a –
because there is next generation, isn't there?
There certainly is, and there's little sisters.
Yeah.
And lots of spin-offs opportunities and stuff. A lot of people were quite upset about this.
Mm.
People at Netflix were quite upset and some people broke ranks and talked about it.
Oh, really?
Hey, we're really bummed that this one got cancelled because this has had a genuine impact with a lot of teenage girls and it really did hit a sweet spot that, you know, you got lots of great content if you are Euphoria age and you want to see not just beginning to come of age stories that deal with some real topics and stuff. They're always a little bit older. So having one show that didn't talk down, Shay loved that show.
Yeah.
So anyway. That was a bummer.
That is a shame.
But on the flip side, I said we've got two trailers and both of them are shows that I love and they're both coming back in June. And we didn't know exactly when they were coming, but we found it. Anyway, June 3rd, The Boys Season 3 comes out.
So you'll probably get a few episodes on that first.
Generally, they drop the first three episodes and then it goes weekly after that. Amazon Prime, that's their style with The Boys.
I quite like that style.
Me too. Mm. I won't give away too much because there was a part of the trailer that felt very spoilery in a weird way. It's something that happens in the comics in the first issue but has never happened in the show, so we didn't know it was coming. But it looks like at least Butcher, if not the rest of The Boys, may get injected with some stuff that makes – that. Levels the playing field, shall we say.
Okay.
And the dude from Supernatural, whose name escapes me, Jensen Ackles.
Good work.
Thank you. He is playing Soldier Boy, which I am very excited for. It's a scumbag Captain America.
There's a few of those around.
There really is. But So you've in Marvel, you've got US Agent, who's the less polished version of Cap, shall we say.
Yeah.
Then in DC, you've got Peacemaker, who's mm-hmm. the assassin version of Cap. In The Boys, you've got Soldier Boy, who is not even the original Soldier Boy.
Okay.
Someone playing a role. But
Would we potentially get a flashback as to why, do you reckon?
Oh, I imagine so, but it's more that this is a suit that the government sticks on someone when they need to sell war bonds.
Got you.
When they need to get the country on board with invading someone else, they trot out Soldier Boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that is good fun. And then the other one that I'm season 3 of The Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Coming June 22nd.
Wait a second. Did you say there was a trailer and I've missed it?
It is a very short little teaser okay. trailer. But they're being very cagey with what they're revealing. But it certainly does look like – so if you don't remember, at the end of season two, they were stuck back in the 60s
mm-hmm.
trying to prevent
something from happening.
Their actions brought them back to the present, and it's now called the Sparrow Academy. And none of them are students there. I don't know if you remember from the initial beginning of the story, 80 children were born across the world at the exact same moment. The women were not pregnant before then and stuff. And this doctor, scientist, professor guy swooped up a handful of them and trained them to be his X-Men, basically. And this is, they've come back to the future and he has a different team that seem far more capable that he likes because he was awful to all of them.
Yeah, that's right. He really, yeah, and some more than others.
Yes, yes.
I mean, one, he didn't even tell them that they were anything.
Yeah.
I remember the season two, the first season two trailer or teaser, I should say, cause it had nothing to do with the show, was just them dancing
yep.
at home because it was during COVID, right? So they're just dancing in their own lounge rooms to a song and that was it. So I'm interested to see that they have actually given some storyline.
Hell yeah. And Ben is living. Ben, you remember, was the one that
died. Really?
The kid that died and his yeah. ghost hung out with Klaus.
Wait, is he in the Sparrow one now or is
yes,
he?
Yes, he's the leader of the Sparrows. So his life was better because the others weren't around.
Well, his life
remained.
So when was that again?
June 22nd. Okay. So June 3rd, boys. Yep. 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later.
Two and a half?
Three, yeah, mm-hmm. something like that. June 22nd is Umbrella.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Put that down in the diary.
Hey, but don't go writing what? Things okay. too quickly okay. because I've got to tell you a fun fact. So I was talking before about Sean Levy. He's having a bit of a hot streak and that made me think back. I love Night at the Museum.
Mm. Which great. Is, yeah.
you know, I can see a lot of that in the Adam Project. That sort of family-friendly vibe, mm. dealing with some fantastic ideas and sort of stuff. So Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, I don't know if you remember, but Owen Wilson played a miniature cowboy.
Yeah, he's a cowboy, yeah.
They were only on set together for one day.
Oh, really?
Ben Stiller acted with a toothpick as a stand-in for the Jebediah scenes, and Wilson filmed all his parts 3 months later. Now, his character was originally just a tiny cameo, but it was so well-received by test audiences that they got him back in, and they added about 20%
more. Yeah, because he's in it not a lot, but he's in it more than – cameo.
But there's a lot of shots where it cuts to him and Steve Coogan as Stalder and Waldorf heckling style.
Yeah.
So they like added him to the movie and stuff. Now the real life American Museum of Natural History, which the museum in the film uses the exteriors mm-hmm. for there, but it's the sets that yeah. they built elsewhere for inside. The actual museum had a 20% spike in visitors
I bet.
During the holiday season following the movie's opening.
That's People I like, love oh, that. I love that.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And I've been to that museum a bunch of times and you can book to do a tour of the museum at night.
And Ben Stiller is.
That'd be amazing.
Can you imagine? I wouldn't put it past him actually just to do one of them, you know, back in the day.
It'd be amazing if Robin Williams' ghost haunted me.
Yeah.
I'm made of wax, Larry. What are you made of? Such a random line. Anyway, get out of my fun fact van.
Wow. All right, it's time for some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We've watched a few things together. Not together.
Not together.
We've watched a few things.
We've both watched the same things.
That's it. I think I want to talk about the Adam Project first.
We should. Let's do it.
About that. I wanted to like this movie more than I did. And I like the storyline. I like the performances. And I understand why the approach Ryan Reynolds had to his younger self, younger Adam. But it annoyed me that he came into his younger Adam's world and was just annoyed by him the whole time. I was just like, if that was me talking to my 12-year-old self, I knew me. I'm not going to be like that to me. I'm cut myself a break.
See, you and I briefly mentioned this yesterday that we'd watched it. And we had very different reactions.
Very different.
I don't watch it with my best mate, Stu. And we friggin' love this movie. And I think what it boils down to is maybe it's talking more to guys a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
That idea of, I don't know how I'd react to my 12-year-old self. I think I'd want to be nice, but at the same time, that was a lifetime ago and you're not that person and you've moved on so much and you would cringe a bit at first. And this, so I found those elements, but also that idea of stealing a bit more time with your dad at a different point in your life when you can you have those nostalgic memories and stuff, stealing more of that time, whether your father's still around or not, just really kind of landed for both of us.
I did enjoy the father bits. I mean, it was mainly the
Ruffalo is great.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a welcome addition all the time.
Oh, speaking of casting.
Yes.
And I did mention this to you yesterday. Not a massive cast. Doesn't need to be, right?
No.
It tells the story that it needs to tell. But everybody except for 12-year-old Adam, except for maybe one of the guys from the future, everybody is over 40.
Cool.
It took me quite a way through the film to go, oh yeah, there's no, you know, Mark Ruffalo with a 26-year-old partner. Yeah.
And I was wigged at first. I'm like, is that Catherine Keener now or is she wearing older makeup? And then later on you meet Catherine Keener from back then and you're like, oh no, they've de-aged her.
Yeah.
That is,
it looked amazing too. That was really, really good de-aging. And the wonderful reunion of Jennifer Garner and Mark Ruffalo.
We're all here for it.
Yeah, exactly. So they play husband and wife in this film. It was fantastic. So whoever did the casting, hats off.
Yeah. And look, it felt, I'll say mid-budget. It wasn't a super big one. They spent their special effects budget wisely.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting that the film has been floating around for about 10 years and originally it was put together as a vehicle for Tom Cruise. And that would have been a very different film.
Yeah, very different.
Like Ryan Reynolds is the reason why it's not a comedy. I don't like it's an action movie more.
It's an action movie, but it's kind got of some fun bits.
This is bits that are kind of Goonies-ish or it's a kid's adventure film. Yep. It feels like old Amblin.
Do you remember, but do you have vague memories, and I've got very, very vague memories of a movie called I Am the Navigator?
Yes.
I think it might be on Disney. I'm not sure. I haven't looked it up. But it's about a boy and he goes somewhere on an alien spaceship and comes back. And he's
Flight of the Navigator, maybe?
Flight of the Navigator, yeah, something like that.
There's another one called The Last Starfighter. It feels like that.
Feels like those two films, even though I haven't seen either of them for hundreds of years. But so whatever that nostalgia that they've got, they've really gotten it because it's made me remember things that I didn't even know I had in my head.
And it feels like it's got a big soundtrack, but I like checked and it actually only has four songs that it uses at different points quite cleverly.
I really enjoyed the storyline. Yeah. I thought the storyline was great. It worked really well. And we won't give it away, but we both said that we got quite emotional in one particular spot. Like you were like, oh, this is where I was like, oh, no, I did too. Like I think probably hit a lot of people the same way.
It was well done. Mm. Look, I don't know how I'd review it if I'd paid to go see it at the cinemas. I might have been a little bit harsh on it. Mm. But I'd just eaten a massive bloody yum cha and I kicked back on a Sunday afternoon and watched it on Netflix.
Amazing.
And had a great time.
Yeah, amazing. Adam Project. Watch it.
It's up to you.
Become a watcher on Facebook.
facebook.com/wearethewatchers.
What else do you want to talk about? We've got a few things we can...
I'm going to swerve and quickly throw one at you that I know you haven't seen, but you enjoy this person's other work.
Yeah.
Netflix has a new interactive thing.
Oh, like Bandersnatch?
Yes.
Cool.
Funny you use that example. It's from Charlie Brooker, who did Bandersnatch and who's behind Black Mirror and all sorts of creepy, weird stuff.
Yeah.
This is a cartoon, interactive cartoon. You play a cat burglar who is a cat. You're breaking museum to steal some priceless artwork, and there is a dopey dog in a security guard uniform trying to stop you.
Fun.
However, at points that give you no warning whatsoever, it comes up with trivia questions completely unrelated with what you're watching that you have to answer three of quickly or you lose a life. And if you lose all three, you go back and it's no big deal, but like it berates you for letting the cat die. The cat gives you shit.
Oh, wow.
And so it ramps up the funny but also the pressure on you to do right.
Okay.
But like we're watching this thing and this cat's about to use it like a pole vault to get over a wall to get into the museum, and it suddenly comes up with like authentic Australian chocolate. Real koala, caramello koala. You're like,
the fuck? What?
Caramello koala, bing, and the cat lives. And you're like, okay.
So these questions sound like they're localized as well.
Well, this is the thing. There's localized content for many, many regions around the world. And when you get to the end and you've assisted the cat and it does well and it ends, it says, like the cat pops up and he's like, hey, you should play it again because I promise you, you'll get a completely different cartoon this time. And you're like, okay, and it start and yes, and I had people with me, and we played it through four times in a row.
Wow!
And get to the end, and there wasn't even a should we play again. It just
we're doing it.
Yeah,
again. Yeah.
Because the questions get increasingly more bizarre and absurd and out there, and like this has nothing to do with anything.
So, how long if you're just going to do it once?
I think it's 12 minutes.
Yeah. So it doesn't outstay its welcome,
not enough
for you not to want to jump back and start again.
Yeah. So, cat burglar.
Oh, wow.
Treat yourself to that. I know you'll enjoy
it. Yeah, I'll enjoy that one. That one sounds ridiculous, but I'll also know the caramello koala question, so that's good. A little bit of intel. Told you to watch something.
You did, which is a very rare thing. Sometimes you'll go, hey, I'm watching this. You might enjoy it, but every now and then, in a blue moon, you'll go, this one.
Yeah.
Pop it in your eyes.
This is the one. And I kind of thought, oh, maybe he already knows about it.
But I didn't.
Time to Buy, a musical. It's on SBS On Demand until the year 9999. I noticed that. I thought that was quite funny.
Sure.
And it's a musical, about half hour long, something like that.
Yeah, 20-something minutes.
Yeah, and it's about a couple of millennials who were on the hunt and in the fight for buying a property against some boomers.
Yeah. Bizarre thing, but they've picked one topic and they've honed in and gone really close. It's very clever.
Everybody likes to talk about the property market in Australia.
And everyone's got opinions.
Oh, so many opinions. The millennials and boomers, like.
But what's so good about the songs?
Well, this is why I thought you knew, because the songs were written by Mr. Tom Cardy.
I know, and I don't know how I missed that because I'm a Tom Cardy super fan.
Yeah,
but he didn't tell us to go and watch it.
Really?
No.
Isn't that funny?
He's very shy.
He shouldn't be.
He does not enjoy self-promotion.
It was very fun music.
It was great work.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that it was him until I saw him, because I just saw that it existed. So I just started watching it.
Sure.
And then he came in at one point to sing a song and I was like, oh, I have a feeling he's probably written all of these. Yeah. I looked it up and he had. Yeah. So it's him and the guys from The Feed.
Yep.
SBS is The Feed, and they're all roommates in real life, and it makes so much sense.
And that's why he's so tight with Michael Hing and Triple J people and stuff.
Makes so much more sense.
He's connected.
Montaigne is in it. The Australian Eurovision entrant? Is that what you would
Yeah.
Entrant, yeah, from last year. So.
Sacrifice?
Okay, sacrifice.
Ritual offering.
Ah, I like that way more. Yeah. And a whole heap of faces that you just know.
Yeah.
Like, people, you know. You're quite a good singer. Yes, that's good.
Yes, I quite enjoyed it. I watched it this morning. You were the first to send it to me, but not the only.
Oh, really?
Thank you, Mick.
Ah, yeah, right. Too. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, but it's on SBS Demand. I don't pay for that one. He goes, it's free. It's SBS. And I felt like responding, yeah, but it's on Australian content.
I don't want to have to watch a 30-second ad at the beginning.
I did. I had to watch ads.
Yeah, that's good.
I chose to say no.
It was only the one ad, right? Oh?
It was an Optus yes ad.
Oh, said, you said no.
I looked away. Do you ever do that when an autoplay ad comes up and you can't skip? You intentionally look somewhere else. Like, fuck you, I'm not giving you my eyeballs.
It's me on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, I'd stare at the ground. You'll be done soon.
Do you reckon you'll have another watch?
Maybe.
Yeah. The music was fun.
I'll do it as a late night watch rather than an early morning watch.
Yeah, see how you go. Worthwhile watching. And as Tom begrudgingly accepted, it's free.
It is free.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
One other thing that we watched at both, not but separately, was this week's episode of The Walking Dead.
We did. Caught up.
I've caught up. All up. Very Eugene heavy episode, this one.
And didn't he bloody knock it out of the park?
Mm.
That was some acting with a capital A the last two episodes.
He got catfished.
He did. And then that woman had the bloody nerve to have a go at him about it. He's just got catfished twice. And she said, you should be apologising. You were so rude.
Go away.
My mind has been scrambled. I mean, I do not have the facilities to properly.
Yep.
I felt for the guy.
Yep. Maggie was quite. Not besotted, but she was on board with that idea of hooking up with the Commonwealth and doing something until she saw something she didn't like.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was the soldiers with all the guns taking everyone out too easy or whether it was looking over and seeing their leaders frolicking while everyone else had been off killing zombies.
I think it was that.
One or the other. Let's see how that pans out for her.
Well, yeah, she lost a few of the hilltop people. They were all like, nah, it's just easier just to be in the
Commonwealth.
I'm
very left, but everything about that read to me is I'm not losing my freedoms.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a shame.
She had the accent too.
That's what I mean. Like, that was not who her character was.
Mm.
I hope that's not where they're going. But we're seeing the pieces now of why she might need to bail and go to New York.
Yeah, there's nobody left in her community is where I'm imagining it's going to end up. And she's going to, I reckon, we'll see her wander off. And she'll get to a certain point in a road, a fork in the road.
And make a choice.
And Negan will be there.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, hey, we're good friends now, but we won't admit it, right? Mm. And I'll say, yeah. Should we go to New York? Yeah. I think I can take over New York. That'll be Maggie.
Sorry, you just I would love it if this spin-off show was the Walking Dead Takes Manhattan and it was just a remake of The Muppets Take Manhattan.
That's not where I that's good.
I've never had that thought before, very good. But now that's my thought.
Yeah, right. I think it could work. It's the crossover we've all needed, right?
It's the crossover we've all needed. I feel nervous for Aaron's time left on the show because he's looking exactly like Rick looked in the comic book just before something happened to Rick in the comic book. He's got the metal arm. He's wearing the flannel shirts. He's got the big square beard.
I forgot about
that.
The
elder statement, and the bit that's tipping me the most is that he's been completely sycophantic to anyone from the bigger group now. He wants to assimilate, and that's...
He wants it too much.
Not going to work out well.
Mm-mm. Oh, that makes sense. All right, well, pre-farewell to you, Aaron. You have been good. Bye, bye, bye. Anything else? You want to talk about that you've watched?
Hey, hang on a second. Can I get my bowl out for a big serve of quiz?
Yes, and it has been Tom Cruise inspired. So which came first? the Tom Cruise movie special.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I got a heap of Tom Cruise movies. It's one or the other for each question, and you got to tell me which one came out before the other.
All right. Done.
We're starting off with one that I think is a bit difficult.
Yeah.
See how you go.
All right.
Cocktail or Rain Man?
Mm.
See what I mean? Huge movies at the time. But there's just been so many.
I want to say Cocktail came out first.
You'd be right. Not by much, though.
Not by much. So very close.
We're looking only at Australian release dates.
Okay, good.
But the 29th of July 1988 is Cocktail.
Yep.
And then we had to wait till the 23rd of February 1989 for Rain Man.
I knew Rain Man was 89 for us.
Ah, really? So okay.
That's where I was.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's good.
Good one from you. That's a stumper. I like it. Okay.
Well, I kind of feel like you're going to go well now.
I don't know.
So this was an interesting time in Tom Cruise's private life. Vanilla Sky or The Last Samurai?
Ooh, 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 ooh. I want to say Vanilla Sky was 2001.
Yes.
And I want to say The Last Samurai was 2003.
Oh, 2004. But 15th of January 2004, so it's right on the cusp. So you would have, we nice. Would have been seeing all the trailers in 2003. Yeah, Vanilla Sky. I watched a bit of that once, like years after, and I was like, oh, that is a strange film.
It's a very strange film.
It's a remake, isn't it, of another film called Vanilla Sky?
Yeah, which I've not seen.
I think it might have been Spanish, which means Penelope Cruz is, I think, she, feel like she might have been in both. Please correct me if I'm wrong somewhere where the watchers are.
Do you ever think that he insisted on casting her and stuff because maybe people would think they were married?
Yeah, of course. It was just after Nicole, right?
Yeah.
So pretend you're with Penelope.
Penelope Cruz. Tom Cruise. Penelope Cruz. We are a couple.
We are the Cruises.
Yes.
And that's before Holmes. Katie.
Yes, Before
the Oprah lounge jumping incident. Edge of Tomorrow or Tropic Thunder? Both good movies.
Great movies. Tropic Thunder was 2008.
Yes.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Was 2012?
14. 2014. Yeah, because you had to think about Edge of Tomorrow, you had to have... There had to have been The Devil Wears Prada for Emily Blunt to make her appearance.
You're right, And it got delayed many, many times. Doug Liman, great film. Enjoy that one. I go back and rewatch that regularly. Both of them, actually.
Tropic Thunder, yeah. I watched
Les Grossman, what a character.
One of my favourite Tom Cruise film cameo, well, just film appearances ever.
Ben Stiller insists that Tom Cruise came up with everything himself. Like, because they're
really?
Good. Well, they're like best friends in real life.
Are they?
And Ben was getting him to read over the script from an action perspective. Any meta jokes that he would add. And he finished it, and Tom said, "You don't have any upper management. You need conflict from a studio head. That's the reason why all the budget constriction starts coming in." He's like, "Oh." He's like, "Do you want me to play it?" He's like,
Yes, I do. He's like, but
can I wear a fat suit?
Yes.
Yes, you can. And apparently he showed up on set doing that dance. Did not discuss with anyone about doing that dance.
It's the infamous part and the hairy arms.
Oh, it's so much. And those fat sausage fingers holding Diet Cokes.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good.
It's great.
Oh, so good. A Few Good Men or Days of Thunder?
Now, A Few Good Men... I feel like I'm going to be completely off the market, but I want to say, is it 93?
You're very close. It's 1992.
Okay. And Days of Thunder. Is that like 1988 or something like that?
1990.
Okay. So I've still got the very close. Order right.
Yeah. You got the order right. So Days of Thunder, I think, might have been the film... The first film that Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise did together, and maybe they met?
And I always get that film for some reason mixed up with Dead Calm.
Oh, I thought you say
Talladega Nights. So no, they're nothing alike at all. But I've seen a poster for Dead Calm, and for some reason I've always confused that one.
Is that the one with Hugo Weaving?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing to do with
Like on a boat or something? Yeah, okay. I don't think I've seen Days of Thunder.
Me neither, I don't think.
No, I don't really want to. Ready for the last one?
Hit me.
Risky Business or The Color of Money?
Ooh.
Yep.
Now, Risky Business, I feel like that might have – was that debut? Was that maybe
– No, there was one other film called The Outsiders that had a whole heap of people like Patrick Swayze's in it. I think maybe Emilio Estevez.
Emilio?
Other people.
Okay, so not the debut, but all right, I want to say Risky Business first. And then
correct.
The Color of Money, which I also have not seen.
I haven't seen The Color of Money. I've seen Risky Business. Matt Dillon's also in Outsiders and Ralph Macchio. I knew there were two others. Rob Lowe as well.
Mickey Rourke maybe is he in it? Mm. Is that one where they go to a diner and they sit around and talk a lot of shit? Or is that maybe that's another Brat Pack movie?
Maybe that's a different Brat Pack movie. I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember. Risky Business. Mm. 1983 and The Color of Money 1987. So there's a few years apart there.
So he's been making movies 40 years.
He's been around, like he's been around as an A-lister, I reckon, since Risky Business. Mm,
for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And there was a period there where he was kind of the only star of that era that still remained, because even, you know, the cracks have formed in Will Smith and a few of those, Harrison Ford, people that were held up as actors.
And you know, along the line of the action films, you had your Arnie's and your Stallone's in there as well. And whilst they were still fondly known as these action stars, but they weren't doing them. They weren't doing those films for ages, but Tom was.
Yeah. A-list, baby.
You excited about the next two Mission Impossibles?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I was really on the fence on them for a while there. And then once this new director, basically the 5 and 6 were great.
Mm.
4, 5 and 6 were great. 3 was all right. 2 was eh. And 1 I saw too young and confused me.
Really?
Why are all these people wearing masks?
But now you know why people wear masks.
Now I know.
For so many different reasons. Life choices.
Mm,
that was good. I kind of want to go back and watch Edge of Tomorrow now and Tropic Thunder. They'd be my two Tom Cruise picks.
I love that I know that Jack Black's character in Tropic Thunder is called Jeff Portnoy. Why do I know that?
I would not have been able to tell you that.
Why the fuck do I know that?
Because you love the movie?
I know, but I can't remember the name of my kid's friend's parents.
Yeah.
I can tell you the...
Yeah. Rains work in mysterious ways. And on that note, thank you very much.
Dun, 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 dun.